Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ash. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Good, good. So this week, we are going to be talking about Bigfoot. Over the last, our first episode was all about Yowie, the Australian Bigfoot. And throughout some of the episodes, we've been speaking to people, and people have talked about cryptids, and we've alluded to British Bigfoot, wild man theories, that kind of thing. And we decided that we would have a chat this week and talk about Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one. A lot of people just straight away dismiss the fact that there's no chance there could be a Bigfoot in Britain, or Woodrow's, or Wild Man, as different names it's been given.
Yeah.
I was the same pretty much until about 6 months ago. And the more I looked into it, and the similarities between other places around the world. Like say, our very first episode was about Yowie and how the folklore around the Australian Bigfoot matches that of China and Malaysia and America. When you look at the British stories, it's the same. These stories go back hundreds of years, and there's thousands of them.
Yeah.
Going back hundreds of years, and they're all describing very, very similar creatures.
Yeah, Rendlesham Forest bits that we were talking about, the history there, they were talking about that around the area. And I know when we spoke to Ben from 401 Files, he actively goes out to places where there have been reports of that kind of thing. So it definitely seems like there's something out there. And I know of all the things that we talk about, I think the fact that a wild man of some kind exists seems a little bit too out there for me. I know we talk about UFOs, we talk about ghosts, but I think this one just seems a bit too out there for me. We have talked loads about it, and the more I hear stuff, the more I think, well, maybe there could be, because it can't be that many people seeing these things or reporting experiences. But I don't know, it just seems to be the spectrum of the weirdness in the in the world, this one particularly in the UK at least seems a bit far-fetched for me.
But yeah, definitely. But what I did find interesting is when looking into these stories and stuff, and what I didn't realize is that in the UK the cave systems underground and the tunnels that are underground literally stretch for hundreds of miles. So you can literally walk from city to city underground. And these are places that don't really get visited by people. They're closed off, most of it.
Yeah.
It's obviously dangerous as well in old mines and places like that. But it could be underground, it could be. Because they do tend to be around mountainous areas and caves or habitats for the Bigfoot and the Yeti.
Yeah.
So it could be, if it is going to be in the UK, obviously due to how densely packed the surface of the UK is, could it be something that's underground?
Yeah, I think for me, because I know how densely populated the UK seems to be, that's what makes it a bit difficult for me to sort of comprehend that there could be something. But I know there's loads of, you've got like the Peak District, you've got all the forests,
Scotland,
Cannock Chase, those kind of places. There's lots of places I suppose there could be. I'm more of a city dweller. I've moved from a village recently, but I wouldn't call that anywhere near remote. So I think where I've lived, that's what I associate things with. So I think it seems strange that it could be something out there in such a small place like the UK and still go relatively unseen.
Yeah, like you say, there's but these sightings of them, like all over the UK, you've got, like you said, about Suffolk and down to the southwest, you've got Cornwall and Devon, the Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Yep.
And places like this. And then, like I say, Scotland, such a huge land and mountain areas around there that relatively untouched is compared to England.
Yeah.
Scotland is a lot more just natural land and forests and mountains.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be interesting to talk to a couple of people that maybe know a bit more about it. So on this episode, we've actually got two guests that we talked to.
Yep.
One is Simon. Simon has travelled all over the world on investigations. He's been to North America, Canada, Malaysia, in some fascinating places, and he's found some fascinating stuff as well out on these investigations.
Yeah.
So we talked to him about what he's found, whether he thinks there could be Bigfoot in the UK, and his thoughts on the subject altogether. And we also talked to Mickey. Mickey is the creator of the Bigfoot Research Team UK, which is a group of dedicated people spread around the UK that they take reports of Bigfoot sightings. They go out into the woods and into the field and investigate these sightings just to find out the truth about, is there something in it, is there not? But yeah, so we chatted to them to find out what they're up to and what they found and if there's any chance of there being a Bigfoot in the UK.
So I wasn't present for the first recording with Mickey. Ash took time to speak with Mickey himself, and then we both spoke to Simon afterwards. And I think you'll find both interviews extremely interesting. We'd welcome your thoughts as always. And after the interviews, we'll have a little wrap up.
So today I'm just chatting with Mickey. Mickey's the creator of the Bigfoot Research Team UK. And before we talk about that, just want to introduce yourself, let us know where you're from and how you got into Bigfoot.
Yeah, obviously, I'm Mickey. I got into Bigfoot about, I would say, 11 years ago. Obviously, like, I live in Newcastle, so there's not many places apart from Northumberland Park. And I think, it was a long time ago. I think it was like 2001. I was just on YouTube, as you do when you're young. And I seen this thing about Bigfoot being in Northumberland Park, and it was a video. And I cannot for the life of me find this video now. But it was snowing, and you could see something, like, walking away from the camera. And I was just like, well, is it possible for them to, like, live over here type of thing? Like, it's a smaller country, much smaller. So I just started looking into it. I was going through, like, school, sixth form and that. And then I found Durham University was doing a course on cryptozoology. So I ended up doing that for, I think it was a year and a half, but I dropped out because I thought, you know, I'd rather get out there and do something. So I've always been, like, interested in the paranormal, like ghosts and stuff like that, reading Ed and Lorraine Warren's books, UFO sightings and stuff like that. Like the link between us and aliens, watching stuff like Ancient Aliens and just a lot of stuff on YouTube. And I think Bigfoot, Sasquatch, you know, that's my expertise. So I just got into that.
Cool.
And so I kind of get out of it.
Cool. So you mentioned that you saw a video about seeing a Bigfoot possibly in Northumbria Park. And he said that he didn't think he'd like there'd be Bigfoot in the UK. Do you think, since you've been researching it since then, do you think that there's more likely that there is something in the UK?
Definitely. Like I said, I've been researching for about 11 years now. And I think it's a different species of Bigfoot. Like, obviously, you've got the Yeti, the Yeren. And with us being a small island, I think they're more capable of staying out of sight more because there's not many areas that can be. But I definitely think there's enough evidence. I mean, there's stories about Bigfoot going way, way back in the UK, and you've got to think, where did the stories come from? So I've just got to look into it.
So is that why you created this Bigfoot research team?
It is. Obviously, like, I'm a huge Bigfoot fan. So I was looking at groups. I've joined a few groups. I think when I was about 18, I learned about the BFRO, which is a Bigfoot research field organization that is created by Matt Moneymaker. He has a show called Finding Bigfoot. And I thought, why aren't we in the UK? There's a lot of sightings. I've talked to people in the BFRO saying they've got a like sightings list from the UK, but yet there's no UK division. So I thought, right, I'll make one myself.
Awesome.
And that's how I... Yeah.
So another group's pretty new this year, pretty much. So what's the what's the next step? What's the next plans that you're trying to achieve with the group?
Well, the next step, obviously, we're in lockdown, so it's hard to get the teams out there investigating. The next step is basically getting more research done, getting eyewitnesses to come forward, which is hard because people are scared of getting ridiculed.
Yeah.
So the end game is just to get more members, get more eyewitness accounts, and get teams out there and see what we can find.
Sounds good. So what, you got any stories of British Bigfoot that you could share with us?
Well, I've got a few. Like, I've been out a few times. I haven't seen anything, if I'm truthful, but I've heard a lot of weird stuff that I can't explain. Some of it might be other researchers out there at the same time. My first encounter, I was camping with some friends, and the first night we were there, we're just having a drink, messing about like you do when you're in your teens.
Yeah.
And then I think it started to get late to the end of the night, people are getting tired and stuff like that. We start to like hearing this, like it was a grumbling noise. So like we didn't know what was going on. We're teenagers, we don't know what lives in the woods. Could have been like anything to us. You know what I mean? And then as the night got on, it started to get like more often. So by this time, I've been watching Bigfoot documentaries, Monster Quest, Finding Bigfoot, stuff like that. Told a couple of the lads, like, yeah, what happens if it's this? So they all start laughing and that. I was like, no, seriously, what happens? And they, I was going into it, like what these creatures do, how they communicate with like each other. And as I was doing it, we just heard this loud bang, and it was like across a tree, like a big knock. And that's when everyone was just like, oh, like shit. Like, what was that? So, but the biggest thing is about Bigfoot, like what I tend to do, I try to be a skeptic. So if you go out looking for Bigfoot, every shadow you see in that, it's going to be a Bigfoot to you.
Yeah.
So at that point, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, we're talking about it. We've heard a bang. It could have been anything. And we started like getting in the tents and stuff. I went outside. I was having a tab with my friend. And then my friend's like, what's that? So I was like, what do you mean? What's that? He's like, I'm like, there's two glowing things. And then I was like, shut up, man. You're being daft. I couldn't see it, and then all of a sudden, bang, bang, and it was just like, oh my God, what we got ourselves into. So the next night, like, we were just having a laugh again, and I said, look, we should do like some like noises, like we do like on the documentaries and stuff like that, like a couple of howls, couple of whistles, see if we get anything back. That night was a little bit weird, because we were doing it for hours, nothing. And we thought, oh, it must have just been like whatever in the woods. And then as we were going back into the tents, we just heard this nice little, and it was like, what was that? Is that somebody walking the dog? We're in Northumberland Park, like people go up there all the time. So we're just like, oh, I wonder what that was. So we didn't think nothing of it. And then after that, we heard another like tree knock. And it was just like, shit, there might actually be something up here. That was my first one. And then after that, it was like a fair few years before I heard anything else. So yeah, that was me major, like, got us into it. But unfortunately, I wasn't well informed as I am now, so I didn't go out the next morning looking for footprints or
any,
like, no, I mean, we were just like, it was scary.
Yeah, but it was. So you mentioned earlier about, obviously, you got interest in UFOs and things like this, and a topic we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast with guests is the link between UFOs, the paranormal, Bigfoot, all these different areas of paranormal, especially when they occur in the same area. So do you think that there's a link between other paranormal instances and Bigfoot?
Me personally, no. I think, like, Bigfoot Sasquatch is a flesh and blood creature. But doing this research and talking to people, I've heard, I've seen videos, and it kind of sways you both ways. So you don't know, but yet, like, I'm confident it's, like, flesh and blood. Like, I've seen documentaries where people are saying that they've just seen these big lights in the woods, and then all of a sudden they disappear, and the next thing they'll say, like, Sasquatch just moving past and stuff like that. You've got Native Americans who believe he's, like, a paranormal creature. You can disappear and reappear when he wants to and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of stuff out there, which, like I said, it all comes from somewhere. So something's obviously happening. But for me, I believe it's a flesh and blood creature.
Yeah, so you say it's coming from somewhere. With, like you mentioned earlier, and a lot of people will probably be thinking, the UK is a small island. We don't have these big, massive areas like they do in North America or Australia or China, where there's just thousands of miles of forests and mountains where they get seen, like Bigfoot gets seen, where Yowie gets seen. So one thing that I'm quite interested in looking into more is, I guess you'd call it interdimensional, where, so it is, you are being seen in Britain, but because obviously it's small areas, they are coming interdimensionally. And could that explain where Bigfoot is on an island as small as the UK?
Yeah, it could. Like, it's a very good point, to be fair. It would explain, like, how they're getting from North America to us. Like, you know, stuff like that. It would be from a total different dimension or anything. Like, we don't know enough about the creatures to say, look, now they've been here all the time, or now they can travel, like, through portals and stuff. We don't know as much as what we need to. And that's what, like, the BFRT wants to find out. That is what we are trying to do.
Cool. Because when I was doing the research into, our very first podcast episode was about Yowie, which is Australia's Bigfoot, basically. And I was looking at all the different types of Bigfoot in all different countries, like China, Indonesia, North America.
Yeah.
And what the similarities are is, obviously, there's folklore going back hundreds of years for each of these countries. And you see that's the same for Britain as well. And the descriptions and the behaviours are all the same. So when you look at all that, because there's no way, like 300 years ago, that someone in Australia would know about the same things being seen in America. So for me, there has to be, like, not making it up. They're not seeing it on the internet. And then, like, oh, let's say we saw one of them, because this is 300 years ago. They're not going to have known that this creature existed in 5,000 miles away, 10,000 miles away. But they describe the same descriptions, the same behaviours, the same environments where they live. And I guess with the UK, are the descriptions the same when people report these sightings? Are they describing the same behaviours and descriptions of, like, say, North America Bigfoot?
Yeah, I've spoken to a fair few people. The area I live is, like, classed as the Outer West, Newcastle. So it's a lot of farmlands and woods and stuff like that. And people have, like I said, tree knocks and stuff like that. Like Bigfoots are well known for tree knocks, whistles, howls and stuff like that in North America, in China, like everywhere. So it's a weird subject to talk about when you're actually starting to think about it.
Yeah.
But there is a connection, has to be. I mean, look at all the apes and stuff around the world. We all act the same. You know, we all do the same stuff. We all nest the same. It's the same for Sasquatches.
Yeah. So talk about your group. If someone wants to get in touch with you or want to get involved in the group or find out what research the group's doing, how can they find you?
We've got an email. We've got team leaders. So if I wanted to drop an email, the email is thebfrt@outlook.com. And obviously, if I don't want a name attached to anything, that is perfectly fine. We'll keep them anonymous. They can give us an inbox on Facebook where team leaders are tagged on top of a group. So any area that they're in, Northwest, they can tag a team leader of the Northwest, Southwest, and so on. It's easy to get in touch with her, and we need you to get in touch with her, to be fair, because it's not going to happen overnight. We need that much reports that we can go out and investigate. And it's not just for us, it's for the people who've had the encounters as well, to give them some closure about what they've seen or if they have seen anything.
Cool. Well, thanks, Mickey, for chatting. I look forward to seeing how the group develops and what we can find together.
Well, thank you for having us on. It's been a pleasure.
Good evening, Simon. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Could you give a bit of background on yourself and how you got into Bigfoot?
How I got into the whole cryptid thing was basically from watching documentaries and reading books as a teenager, really. I think the first thing that got me to the cryptid thing was a book and a documentary on Michaela Membe, which is the supposedly dinosaur in the Congo. So after watching all these different documentaries and stuff, because I love the paranormal and things like that, there was a guy called Adam Davies who got in contact with from watching some of the documentaries, because I wanted to know how I could be able to get into these kind of things. So I really wanted to do it. So I managed to email him, and he sent an email back saying about meeting up, because he only lived about 20 minutes away from me when he lived in the UK then. So we met up then and just had a quick chat, and that's how I got into it. And I think my first expedition with him was in 2012, which was the Cascade Mountains, and that was an expedition for Bigfoot. So, and I've been doing it ever since, apart from last year with the COVID. But yeah, that's how I got into it. So it's really interesting. I like the weird stuff, but I'm very open. As in, if you can't prove it or disprove it, I'm open. I'm 50-50. So that's why I always like to be. I mean, I'm not going to say to someone, I don't believe you or your accounts or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, unless you can prove it or disprove it, you know, I think you should be open. So that's the way I look at things, in a way.
Definitely. Do you want to tell us a bit about the expeditions that you've been on around the world?
Yeah, well, like I said, in 2012 was my first expedition. That was the Cascade Mountains there. And we actually found a few prints there and heard a few vocals calls. And there's always, I remember one night, because we camped out there, I remember hearing something through the night, because it actually woke me up. And it was something bipedal running through or past the camp. And the footsteps were that loud. You know, I thought, you know, it was weird, and it really... really shook me up a bit, to be honest with you. But you could tell it was bipedal, not like with a not like a bear or anything like that. So, you know, it always adds to the things with the other things like the prints and things that you find. You know, it makes you think a bit more of, you know, could there actually be something really there? But I, like I said, I go off evidence and stuff. And then the second one was I went to Sumatra. I was looking for the Arampan deck, which I think we call the Hobbit, which is a smaller version of like the Bigfoot. So I've been there, I think, 4 times now, and we've found prints. And I think we've actually managed to hear it as well. The guide said that when we could hear this whooping noise, they said that was around Pandek now. Whether it was or not, you know, we'll never know. But one of my other friends, called Dave Archer, who does the expeditions as well with us, he's actually lucky enough. He's one of, oh, I think there's only probably like 3 or 4 people that have actually seen the Rampan deck. And he was one of the lucky ones to actually see it himself.
Wow.
And he was just saying that how human it looked in the face and the way it looked at him. It was clinging to the bottom of the tree and just staring at him. And he was shocked at how human he actually looked. I've seen prints, but I've never seen anything yet. But while we were there, we found other prints, and apparently they look more Bigfoot size, and apparently they call it the orangutan there. Now, I never knew anything about this other hominid then. It was only talking to the guides and people around there that told us about it. And some of the prints there that we found were massive. I mean, probably even bigger than Bigfoot's, looking at them, because we managed to cast some of them as well and take a video of the tracks. So that was another interesting thing. I've been to Russia as well, looking for the Almaty in the mountains there, in the Caucasus Mountains. talking to some of the locals there that had seen it and reported it, but I think we only found one print, I think. So the evidence there, we didn't really find much. And the other place I've been to is the Philippines, which was a 5-day trek to the jungle. But that was more of a kind of hike kind of thing for us. We weren't actually looking for anything, but it was an interesting place. So those are the places I've been to, and also an island called Haida Gwaii, which is past Vancouver Island, further north. You can actually see the Alaska coastline from the island, and that's had quite a few number of reports. So we investigated that a couple of years back, and we're hoping to go back this year if we can travel. So we've got a few friends over there that have actually seen it, and they've done some recordings for us. So it's just about going over there trying to get the evidence. But those are the places that I've been to.
Sounds fascinating. What's it actually like when you, like, say you're in the jungle, you're in these countries? What's it like when you're actually there and thinking there could be a creature like watching us or near us? What's it just like, just being there?
That is, it's an amazing, especially Sumatra. I just love going there. It's getting used to the humidity as well, because you're just totally wet all the time with the humidity. And then you've got the leeches and things to deal with. I mean, the jungle's that dense, you don't really see that many insects or even snakes. I mean, I've been to the jungles quite a few times, and I think I've only ever seen a snake once. So obviously you see monkeys and that. But yeah, it's just an amazing place. It's nice to see the animals, you know, in the natural environment. I mean, Sumatra, we found a tiger prints because there's still tigers there. And we had a tiger jump in front of us. We didn't actually see it, but we heard it. So it's an adrenaline rush just to be in a place where, you know, you're not at the top of the food chain kind of thing. as well. So it's just an amazing experience. And I like, especially at night when you're camping out, because there's no light pollution or anything, just seeing the sky, the stars, the Milky Way and everything. It's amazing. It's great.
What do the, so you're out with guides and the locals there. What do they make of, A, what it could be, and B, the fascination that everybody else has with it?
Well, the guides, on the one when we were in Sumatra, obviously we were looking for the Iran Pandek. Now, they believe in the Iran Pandek, and we actually found prints. But when they found prints of this other thing, you could tell in their faces how shocked they were. They'd never seen anything like this before. And every single one of the guys were just shocked. What it is, I mean, we'd go into the jungle, we'd find prints. And obviously, you can't stay in the jungle overnight. You come out of the jungle where up to the campsite, and then you go back in, you might go a bit further. And we were finding like fresh prints all the time. So they couldn't believe what they were seeing. But they believe in the Iran Pandek. So it's just this other thing that, you know, we're not really, really heard of. I mean, some of the guys had heard of it, but mostly some of them hadn't. So it was just in the shock on the faces, you know, to see the different prints.
How did that make you feel when they were shocked at what they were seeing?
Well, when I saw some of the, when we were casting some of the prints, and we were casting and we took them out, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't see something like this in front of me, because it's got to be massive. I mean, where the prints were, we saw a load of like bamboo and everything that had been flattened, you know, like where something big had been laying, kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, in the jungle there, it's that dense. Anything could be watching, and you wouldn't know. So it's just the experience of it. It's amazing. I mean, I was more bothered about the leeches, to be honest with you. But...
yeah, I don't think I'd be a fan of those.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've always wanted to do it, like say, as a teenager, and now I'm lucky enough to have the time and the money to do it. So it's can't wait to get back into it, hopefully at the end of this year. So
definitely. Yeah, bringing it a bit closer to home, you're a member of the Bigfoot Research Team UK. So what's your thoughts on Bigfoot or Woodrolls or whatever the other names are for it in this country?
I think, obviously, I've been in the group, I think, 3 weeks or a month ago. And it's just interesting to hear closer to home what other people, you know, claim they've seen. And it's hard to think that there could be anything over in the UK. But like I said, I'm some of my team members wouldn't entertain it at all over here. So I think I'm more open to the fact that, yeah. I mean, if people have seen something and they're reporting all these sightings of this bipedal, hairy thing in different places around the country, I mean, you know, it can't all be lying. I mean, they're seeing something. So I think it's interesting to listen to other people's, you know, encounters and you know, exploring and into it, you know, at home kind of thing, and just see what comes out of it. Because like with all the different expeditions around the world, you know, you can compare all the evidence that you get from there and see if anything like correlates to what you get over here in the UK. See if it's the same. So it's I find it interesting. So, you know, you never know. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm not saying there no, there is. So it's up to us to get the evidence and you know, find it if there is anything.
Do you have any advice for anyone? So you say someone's interested in going out in the UK or wherever, looking for this creature or these creatures. with your experience, do you have any advice on what they should do or what they should take with them?
I think if I was going out looking, I would look at, obviously, Google reports in the UK and see if there's any like hotspots or anything like that. But also, I would look at where the ancient forests are in the UK that are still left and see if there's any relation with any sightings. Because obviously, with older forests and things like that, you would probably think that there'd be something probably in there. But also going to like near rivers or lakes, to know where there's mud or anything, looking for prints and things like that. A lot of people go on about the stick structures and things like that as well. I mean, I'm not too sure on that, but you know, I'm still open to it because no, there's no evidence saying it isn't or it is. So, like I said, I'm open. It's just basically getting out there, but it's doing a sort of bit of research before you go out. So I would do that. Look at hotspots in the UK where a lot of people have had sightings, and probably look at the more ancient forests to look at as well.
I think for me as well, what I've been finding is, what I didn't realise was cave and underground systems in this country. Like, there's literally miles and miles, well, hundreds of miles of cave systems underground that you can just walk. Like, obviously it's not an easy walk, but you can get from like different cities to other cities underground in the old mining systems, in the old cave systems. And that's another, like, when I watch documentaries from like Finding Bigfoot, series like that, they tend to look in caves and places like that. So that's just, I think, another place where if there is something in the UK, it could be underground as well.
Yeah, it's a possibility if there is something. I mean, we had a place in the Cascade, a place called Marble Creek. I went there a couple of times with Adam, and there was this tree. Now, this is the weirdest thing. I've not mentioned it before, but I'll mention it now. And this big tree, you went up to it and it would start growling. I know it sounds funny, this, but this it'd growl and it would knock on the tree, would just knock, making a knocking noise. And it'd do this more or less every single time you went up to it. We were there for like 2 weeks, and more or less every single day it was doing the same thing. It'd talk to it or whatever, and it would just bang the tree and you could hear it thump, thump, thump. And then you could hear it growling. Now, a year later, we went at a different time. Now, when I went with Adam again, we went at some stupid time. I think it was 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And the snow was really bad. It took us ages. And even then, a year later, this tree is still knocking and growling. So we thought, you know, what could it be? You know, I mean, people were saying, oh, Bigfoot must be like underground kind of thing. Because I know in some of the places there in the Cascades, the trees kind of build up over time, and you can have like, not like a cave system, but, you know, a hollow bit underneath where I think probably bears could go or something. But basically, we were trying to find if there was any like cave system or something hollow that somebody could just use as a, you know, just use as a den or anything near it. We couldn't find anything. And to this day, none of us know what this tree, you know, what's happening with this tree, because we went 2 or 3 times there, different years, and it's still doing it. So. No, the knocking tree. So that's one thing I can't explain.
So has there been, where these sightings have occurred, has there been any other phenomena that's sort of been reported at similar times or coinciding with sightings?
Not with the ones that I've been to. I mean, I know Adam has, and I think he probably heard of it. They went to someplace in America on a Bigfoot expedition, and Adam and Carl Johnson. But yeah, they were looking at one night, and they said that they saw like a kind of portal opening, and they saw these things coming out, these black things coming out, like figures kind of thing. And they, I think they even shot at it, I think. So some people say, you know, with Bigfoot, there's like portals and things that tend to come at the same time. You know, but I know they were both, John Carlson, but I know they were both shook up about it. Because when they came back to the UK, he didn't want to talk about it or anything to anyone. So, yeah, so that was a strange thing.
Yes, it's not the first time we've heard that. People have mentioned that on previous podcasts we've done, that similar type portals opening. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting.
I mean, a lot of people say, like, UFOs relate to Bigfoot and kind of thing. But me personally, I've not had any experience with that, so I can't comment on it. I'm not saying it couldn't be, you know. Where's the proof to say it doesn't, you know? So that's what I mean. I'm always open. That's how I look at things.
Yeah, and I think people have that personal experience, and it doesn't always. Well, the person next to him might not even have the same experience. And two sightings might be completely different, depending on how those people perceive what's happening to them. So it does, a lot of the people we speak to, the people that we've talked to over the episodes, it does appear that every one of them seems to be like a personal experience.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm into the paranormal as well, I think. I have actually seen a shadow figure. Believe it or not, it was at work. I work at a hospital. So I'd only been there like 2-3 weeks. And it was something. I was going out on a patrol and we had a car. And so I got out of the cabin. I was on my own. I was meeting my colleague there at this building. I got out and I was walking, who I thought was behind my colleague. And I looked back at the car for a split second and looked back, and he'd gone. Now, in this split second, I looked at the car and turned around. There's no way humanly possible they could have gone right or left, because it was just one door to where we were going to, and the walls to each side are quite long. So it couldn't have humanly possible. But I radioed in and I said, where are you? I was just right behind you. He said, oh, still in the office. So, I do believe I saw something then. So, but I'm still 50-50. You know, even though, you know, I think I've seen something. You know, it's just, for me, it's just evidence. I need the evidence. And if I see something myself, I think it's more of a personal thing as well, why I do these expeditions and things, because I want to see something. But I need the evidence and that. But until I see something physically for myself, I've got to be open. That's the way I look at them.
So what do you think these cryptids are, these Bigfoot creatures? What do you actually think they are? Are they like a lost species of animal that are actually out there? Or do you think it's something more paranormal or mysterious?
I think they're definitely physical. I don't think it's a hard one, that. Maybe something from the past, yeah. I mean, you're going about Gigantopithecus, don't you? It could be something like that, but I'm not too sure. I mean, I could understand it in a jungle climate kind of thing, like Sumatra and that, where we've seen prints. But, it's hard to think of something like in America, but I've been to looking at it, go to Bluff Creek and see how vast the America, you know, the forests and the mountains are. And, you know, there could be anything there. Yeah, you know, it's just miles and miles. So I have no idea. I mean, some people say, you know, like with the portals, maybe there could be something that's coming through the portals and going back through, who knows. But I've got no explanation. I suppose that's what we need to try and find out in the end, gathering evidence, finding out. It's like Jeff Melvin. You know, it's he works with the prince, different prince and things. He's just the same. He's not saying, yes, Bigfoot is real. He's just going off trying to find the evidence, but he's not, he's a bit like me. He's 50-50. He's not saying it isn't, you know, just going off the evidence. Hopefully, obviously, when we get out after the COVID, we can start getting some evidence together, you know, go to some of the reportings and see what we can find.
Yeah.
So, and then we can start reporting. Just gathering the information. That's what all we can do.
Thanks to Simon and Mickey for chatting to us, taking time out to share their experiences and share their thoughts. So having listened to that, Greg, has that changed your scepticism on the subject?
Difficult to say. I still find it one of the difficult areas of the paranormal, as it were, or unknown, for me to sort of definitely believe in. I've seen that original great bit of footage from years ago of that sort of Bigfoot character.
The Gimbal across. Patterson.
Yeah, that's it. That really intrigued me. And I know a lot of Sherpas and that's it. And I know from what Simon was talking about some of the helpers and the guides, yeah, when he's abroad, I've seen some stuff. So I definitely think there's something there, but I'm still not convinced. I think it, because it's not something that I've really taken the time to look into, and it's only since we've been doing these podcasts that we've talked about cryptids and these kind of creatures, yeah, more, that sort of piqued my interest a bit more. So I'm definitely open to the idea, for 100% open to it. I can't say either way, but I'm definitely swaying more towards there's definitely something that people are seeing.
Yeah.
I'm still not.
Yeah, I think for me, in terms of the UK, like I spoke to with Simon, if it is, it's going to be more the paranormal, the possible portals, dimension side of it. I think for it to be remain still so elusive, I think it's going to be sort of on that more side of paranormal, UFO related, rather than being a flesh and blood, yeah, it's there in the woods type creature.
Yeah, and I know we've talked a lot to people where they've said about cryptids and UFOs, that kind of link between them, and we've spoken to like John Edmonds at Stardust Ranch, and the fact that these portals and creatures are coming out. Skinwalker Ranch had a similar thing where portals have opened up,
yeah,
on the grounds, and these weird creatures are coming out. So yeah, that as strange as it sounds, that I could actually go with that more and understand why we're not seeing these creatures as often, because they're not here really. They're kind of, they appear, they do their thing, and they go, yeah, again. And that for me, as crazy as it sounds, is more believable for me to accept that,
yeah,
than these creatures just roaming around unseen. That seems more plausible.
Yeah, for sure.
But when we get out to Cannock Chase and start having a hunt around in the woods when lockdown finishes, hopefully we'll either see something like that, or we'll see some kind of portal opening up. That would be incredible. But no, I'm, in all seriousness, I think it definitely requires more investigation. I'd like to talk about it more, yeah, on the podcasts. I would definitely be interested to hear what people who listen to the podcast think. So if you have any views either way, please let us know on social media, drop us an email. You can send us your experiences if you've had one. This is a safe place and you can be anonymous if you want to be. But by all means, get in touch either way. It's always good for a debate. We do have some good debates every now and again on some of the social media posts we put up. So we'll be definitely interested to hear people's thoughts. Follow us if you're not already on social media. Pursuit of the Paranormal podcast on Facebook, Instagram. Go onto our website, pursuitoftheparanormal.co.uk. We have a mailing list that you can subscribe to. We promise not to spam you, but we'll just send you a monthly newsletter, and it's a good way that you can get in touch with us. You can also see a little bit about the guests and some of the subjects we've been talking about. You can listen to all the podcasts on there. And hopefully things to come will be that you'll be able to interact with us more on there. There'll be other exciting bits going on the website. So don't forget, at the end of April, 24th to be exact, is the Big Phone Home, which is an opportunity and a push to contact your local MP to open up the question to them to find out what they know about UAPs. As we've discussed with UAPmedia.uk on previous podcast. So get involved with that and head over to UAPmedia.uk for a bit more information on what you can do to help the cause.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.